Remember, we've been talking about the problem of division in the church. And the division was caused by an arrogance, a pride, a feeling of superiority. And that was demonstrated in the people's lives with such things as their eloquent speech. Isn't that interesting? We'll pick out from here the fact that God wants us to be humble. Humble in every aspect of our lives. Humility is a quality that was characteristic of the King of Kings. If anyone had a right to demonstrate superiority, it would have been the King of Kings. If anyone had a right to boast, it would be the King of Kings. And yet he came humble. He came lowly. And we see that in his birth, we see that in his life, we see that even in his death. The fact that humility played such an important part in who he is, who he was, and what he's done for us. It's a quality that we all desperately need. James talks about it, and Peter talks about it. James chapter, about 5? And 1 Peter, I think it is 3. The clear indication is that we need to choose humility. We need to humble ourselves. Interesting, isn't it? That's an action, a choice that we can make. A choice for humility. The flesh is always going to move us toward pride and arrogance. The Spirit of God will always move us towards humility. And just like you chose your socks, you can choose to humble yourselves. But pride is so pervasive, pride uncovers so many aspects of our lives that we don't even think about how arrogant and pride we're being without a lot of contemplation, without being really slapped in the face by it. And so maybe one of the challenges for us this week would be to ask God to reveal to us ways in which we are demonstrating that divisive characteristic of pride and arrogance in our lives. Paul goes on to say that this wisdom, this arrogance, this pride that's from the world will do nothing but destroy. It does nothing but devastate. And one of the things that any local church needs to put before themselves is the concept that there is going to be a threat to our unity based on pride. And so that's why it's so important for us to regularly go through this process of humbling ourselves and asking God to reveal to us, where am I showing arrogance? Where am I showing pride? It shows up in every aspect. And I'm more and more shocked at how often I find it in my life. So then when I find it, what's my response? What should I do? Choose humility. Choose to humble ourselves. And that's when the Holy Spirit of God has ability to work in our lives. That's when we're kind of emptied of self. That's when, as in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, that's when His grace becomes sufficient for us. So that humbling is a very important part of the Christian life, and I really can't emphasize that too much. We read, I think it was about verse 6, that there is a kind of wisdom that we need to apprehend, that we need to hold on to. Again, quoting James, James says, if you lack wisdom, ask God for it. Now, let's assume that there's a difference in the kind of wisdom that results from arrogance and pride and the kind of wisdom that comes from God. The kind of wisdom that comes from God is focused in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus. Look at verse 30 of chapter 1. But by His doing, you are in Christ Jesus. Another little study for you this week. See how many times you can find with a concordance, if you have an electronic concordance, it's real easy. And you can find one, BibleGateway.com, for a quick free concordance of the Bible. Click on that and put in the words "in Christ" in quote and see how many times it comes up. I think what we'll find is that it's mainly used by the Apostle Paul, and that over and over and over again, he lists the benefits that come to people who are in Christ. How does someone, this is a question for your answer, for you to answer, how does someone get in Christ? I don't know if that's the right word, but what's the process for being in Christ? What's that? New birth. That's the only way a person can ever hope to be in Christ. What's that? Death. Explain. You got me confused. That's a process. And I'm sorry, that's a fact that I believe happens at new birth. But there's a constant renewal. The Scripture calls it reckoning. Refocusing on the fact that I am dead, I am dead, I am dead. The only life I have is in Christ. All right. Anything else that comes to your mind? It's a great study. Find those references and then see what the result is for people who are in Christ. That'll be due next Sunday morning at 9:30. But those who are in Christ Jesus have some blessing. And it says, we are His doing. By His doing, you are in Christ Jesus. And then He says, who became to us what? Wisdom. Ah, okay. There's a different kind of wisdom. Paul said, I didn't come with the wisdom of arrogance and the wisdom of speech, the wisdom of the flesh. I came with a different kind of wisdom. It's a wisdom that is the result of being in Christ Jesus. And look what it has for us. Verse 30. Sam, we got this? Good, thanks. There is a kind of wisdom that is available to us. It's a wisdom from God. It's the wisdom that is from God's Holy Spirit. Take a look at it. First, he says, there is righteousness. Righteousness. Those who are in Christ have a righteousness about them that's in perfect conformity to the standard. Now, you can go in the whole Word of God and find the standard, but the simplest way to find the standard is the Ten Commandments. Go to those Ten Commandments and see what God's standard is. And they are all-encompassing. He uses basically the rest of Scripture to flesh out what those Ten Commandments stand for. If a person is in perfect conformity to the Ten Commandments and the rest of Scripture, they are what is called righteous. Now, what kind of a week have you had? It's time for confession. You didn't know that usually that's on Saturday, but you have to do it today. What kind of a week have you had? Has there been perfect conformity to the standard? Perfect conformity to the standard. Let's do a Ray Comfort kind. Who said no? Life? At least you've got one honest person. You're not a liar. All right? Has anyone told a lie this week? Aaron? Adeline? It goes on and on. If you tell lies, you are what? You're a liar. You are not in perfect conformity to the standard. In other words, you're in trouble. But in Christ, you have a righteousness. Go figure. Here's our liar back there, and he is in perfect conformity to the standard because he's in Christ. How can it be? Well, there's another word. And it isn't mentioned in here, but it's included in the concept of righteousness. It's the word justification. That's a $12 word. But what it means is to be declared in perfect conformity to the standard. Isn't that cool? Here I am, all 223 pounds of me. The perfect standard for a person my height is 180 pounds, right? Now, my problem is that I'm too short. But, what would it be like for my wife to come up to me and say, honey, you buff, magnificent hunk, I am declaring you to be 180 pounds of man. What would you say about my wife?
She's a great jokester.
Oh, I thought you were going to say she's a great woman. It would be a joke? What else? Well, okay, and that's good. I need cheerleaders.
She's lying to you.
Okay. She's not in perfect... Anyway, you get the point. God, for those who are in Christ, raise your hand if you're in Christ this morning. Yes! Got a whole room full of them. Praise the Lord. If you're in Christ, God has declared you to be in perfect conformity to the standard. How's that going to change your life? What difference is that going to make when you walk out of here at 12 o'clock today? Any ideas? Are you going to think about this? Yes. If you think about it, what difference will it make? Nicole, I'm going to pick on you. What difference could it possibly make that God thinks you're perfect? How I look at myself. Christy. All right. All right. It's a standard up here. You say, well, maybe they're a little foolish. Maybe Betty just thinks I'm a hunk. But, boy, I'm going to show her. You know, that kind of thing. Okay. All right. There's probably a million other things. I tell you what, if you've just taken a shower, you've put on a clean white blouse, white shirt, let's put on khaki pants. I don't know if they go together, do they, honey? Is that okay, white and khaki? Okay, thanks. Oh, there you go, okay. All cleaned up. The last thing you want is for the garbage to get spilled on you. Isn't that right? Yuck! Okay. Yesterday, I was a little sloppy, and I didn't care if the garbage got dumped on me, right? I mean, I'd spent the whole day sweaty and working and everything else, and a little garbage, hey, don't worry about it. But when I'm all cleaned up, I want to try and stay that way. There's just something about us. God says, I have declared you to be absolutely spotless. And that should be motivation for us to say, you know what, Aaron? I'm going to work on this lying business. I'm going to try and be pure and holy in the eyes of God in the area of lying. He thinks that's who I am. That's who I want to live up to. It's called becoming. It's becoming to a perfect person to attempt perfection. Okay? Huge concept. God is able to declare me perfectly in conformity to the standard. What? Wait a minute. What did you call my wife?
A jokester.
A jokester. Can God look down from heaven, pick out Jess Huber and say, that guy is absolutely perfect. What do you say? This is huge now. How can God possibly not choke himself laughing to death when he says, that guy's perfect?
Because he's in Christ.
He's in Christ. What's happening here? Pull this out. Draw this down. Do some critical thinking on it. Because I'm in Christ, and listen, I'm spending a lot of time on this, but I tell you what. This business of being down on ourselves and having a poor view of who we really are and so on, it's devastating to us. It's incapacitating. It ruins us. And God says, I don't want you ruined. I want you to see who you really are in Christ. Not in your own strength, not in your own ability, not in your own wisdom, not in your own diploma, not in anything that you've done as far as credentialing. But in Christ, I want you to understand who you are. People in this room, because you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, you have one identity that matters. Only one identity that matters. And that is that we are in Christ. Now in Romans chapter 3, and again, this is your third assignment for the week. Wow, I'm really dumping it on you this week, aren't I? Romans chapter 3 talks about all having sinned. We don't have any problem with that verse. But it goes on to say that God is both just, meaning what?
Perfect,
conforming to the standard. God is absolutely just and the justifier. God is just and the justifier. What? What does that mean? It means that somehow, by declaring me righteous, He is absolutely perfect in that. The judge declares the sinner righteous. How can that be? You've lied, you cheated, you've stolen, you've had adulterous thoughts. It goes on and on. How can God look at me and say I'm in perfect conformity to that standard? Somebody besides Grandpa. How can... Yes, Clint. We're in Jesus. He took us and He wrapped us up in the person and the work of Jesus. We are in Christ. And with all our flaws, God covers us with the person and work of Christ so that all He sees is perfection. Well, God, are you fooling yourself? Are you missing? No. Christ paid the entire debt of sin that you owed. You, because of Christ's shed blood, by faith have taken His finished work for you, and He has made you absolutely perfect. Well, Ben said something about we had to continually die. There's still that old nature, but realize this, in Christ, there is perfection. And that's how God sees me. That's part of this wisdom that God has for us. Now, you want your own wisdom? Arrogance, pride, division, death. Or do you want God's wisdom? Where are you going to live? And this is the huge thing. This is the traffic stopper. Are you going to choose to live in your own wisdom, or are you willing to live in Christ? Two other things he says: we're sanctified. That means set apart. He's put us over here. He said, you're special people. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. So don't act like the world. Act like my people. Don't walk in the ways of the flesh. You're my people. And finally, he says, bought with a price. It all stems from the fact that Jesus Christ paid for our sins on His cross and has redeemed us. He has bought us out of that slave market of sin. He paid the debt that was owed. And we are in Christ. Here's the challenge. This week, I'm going to view myself as being in Christ. This week, I'm going to view myself as being declared righteous. This week, I'm going to realize that I've been set apart for God. That I can't live like the world. And the only place I'm going to get the strength to keep myself from living like the world is through the power of God's Holy Spirit, which He promises in abundance to us. We have to say, that's what I choose. That's where I'm going. Easy choice? Got a lot against you. You got the world, you got the flesh, you got the devil, all fighting that concept. But you have the Spirit of God. You have resurrection power. The very power that the Spirit used to explode Christ from the grave is available to you in this business of choosing divine wisdom. And so Paul is going to describe this Spirit quality wisdom, and we'll have to hurry through this. He says that it's a mystery. A mystery. A hidden wisdom. Nothing like a good mystery to stir your thinking. All right, I mean, you know, if I can get one of those videos that has a good... What was that Denzel Washington one about the bank robbery that we watched, Betty? That's what?
Inside Man.
Inside Man. Man, I was fascinated by that. How are we going to work? What? What's going on? I had to watch it three times before I finally got that he was inside. But anyway, we like a good mystery. This kind of mystery is a little bit different. This is information that God has that He's cloaked from our eyes. He's hidden it from our eyes. But that at one point, He eventually brings it out and reveals it to us. And what we have here is Paul saying, this spirit wisdom is a secret that God has. And He's opened you up to it. He's given you an understanding of it. You see why it's so important to study the Word of God? You see why this study in 1 Corinthians is absolutely vital to our Christian walk? If we don't know these things, we can't possibly walk in them. We can't possibly benefit from them. But here's this secret wisdom, a hidden wisdom, a mystery, something that God has kept covered for a long period of time, but comes to us now through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's been revealed. And here's what's thrilling. Look at verse 10. Look at verse 10. Isn't this fantastic? For to us, God revealed them. Revealed what? What does them stand for? Whenever you see a word like that, you have to find out what it means. What is them? It's right in the text. Go back and find it. What's that?
Things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard.
And which
have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him.
Whoa. Now that's a verse that I've looked at for long time and thought, well, that's cool. Someday I'm going to see all of this. Someday I'm going to get a glimpse into all this. Guess what verse 10 says? Woohoo! It's already been revealed to us. It's a hidden wisdom. It's been revealed. It's available to us. You didn't know this, but last night... No, it was Friday because the banks were still open. Friday... I'm lying now. Friday, I inserted $200,000 into everyone here's bank account. But it only is good until 9:30 Sunday morning, and then it comes back to me. Huh?
You didn't tell us this?
Well, no, I didn't mention it, but it was there. Aren't you excited about it? Doesn't that thrill your soul? It's too late. It's too late. Listen, if I go through life not understanding that these things are mine, how can I possibly make the wise choices? The world is going to put this beautiful ball out in front of us and we're going to say, oh, I want that, you know, and we strive after it. And when we do grab it, guess what? It goes, and there's nothing there. But God says, whoa, over here in the corner, there's this little box. And if you open it up, there's this jewel that is so fantastic. It's being in Christ. And nobody else is going to understand it. Just those who are of the Spirit of God. When we get to the end of chapter 2, you're going to see that there's a whole realm of people that just don't get it. And all they can see is that gleaming, glittering ball that the world is striving for. But if it's been revealed to you that in Christ you have this huge, wonderful reservoir of wisdom that can change who you are into Christ-likeness, then we better grab it. Just think, if you'd have gotten a bank statement yesterday and found that $200,000, what would you have done all day yesterday? Woohoo! Right? What if we went all through our life and didn't understand that God has this magnificent plan and gift for us? And the only way you can know it, it's through studying His Word, through the Holy Spirit revealing these things to you. If you've never been motivated to study before, this should be something that we say, I'm going to plug into my life. This is what I'm going to do. God's wisdom is available to us. He says in verse 12, we have not received the spirit of the world. That's the old stuff. But the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. Now let me pause. We've got about 5 minutes here. I want you, please, to pull out from the depths of your thinking what possible impact this could have. Because this should make a difference for lunch. This should make a difference the way we worship this morning. But God wants it to make a difference between now and the time He calls us home, when He's going to sanctify us and glorify us and everything's going to be fabulous. We've got a chance right now, people, to grab onto something. Things that have been hidden. But we need to understand what God has freely given us. Am I making any sense or am I way off the wall? Please, now's your chance. Okay, let's stop and pray for Benj, because he's the only one in the room that has that problem. Oh. Piper calls it future grace. Piper says that God has so much for us. But the only way we can possibly obtain it is by a life of faith in future grace. Believing that what God has said in His Word is true. Benj, your problem, and this is harsh, but your problem is that you're calling God a liar. Isn't that right? That's my problem. That can't possibly be worth as much as... And so I go after this glitter that has nothing to it. And the eternal wealth that's mine gets left in the corner. Hey, we're going to all get it someday. But Paul's point is, look, why not enjoy it now? Why not spend it now? Other thoughts? Benj, that was helpful. Other thoughts? How radically wrong is what I'm teaching you this morning? Sam, got any thoughts on this? Have we rightly interpreted Scripture this morning? Ah, good. Aaron's got that skeptical look. I love it. Aaron, what are you thinking?
More of a space out look.
Oh. When you're spacing out, look intelligent, then nobody will know. Okay. Am I wrong in saying this is life-changing? So, how many want to stay the same today? The same that you are right now, or how many want to say, well, let's get into this good stuff? Or how many are so apathetic that we're just saying, come on, let's get the coffee? What's that? The future grace that God has promised. You're the same? Worry? Yeah. And we worry because we say, God, you can't possibly have all this good for me. I've either got to do it myself or I've got to cheat somebody else out of it or something. But God, you can't possibly... What is that? That's unbelief, brother. And the only reason I'm picking on Jason is so you don't look at me, because I have a huge problem with that. And so do about 45 others in this room. All I have to do is choose to listen to God's Spirit. Paul writes to Timothy, he said, we have this treasure. Where is it kept? Anybody remember? What's that? In an old pot, an old clay pot. 23 pounds of clay. But inside here, folks, and I need to live that way. I need to understand that. I need to hold on to that with both hands. Maybe clamp on with your teeth too. I don't know. But that's what can change our lives. That's what can give purpose and meaning and hope and joy and peace. If I'm wrong, tell me, because I'm leading this whole room astray. Time to quit. What are you going to do? Father, I need this. Please, God, open my heart to the grace that has been promised me. Help me to lay my entire person at the feet of Christ and believe that in Christ I have this wisdom that comes from God. Lead, please, I pray, Father. We all need you. We ask your help in Jesus' name. Amen.